Welcome to IQ Talanoa on Air with Mata Neil Mangalei and Maureen Fepulea'i. How are you, Neil?
Ta lofa lava, everybody. I'm well. Thank you, Maureen.
Wonderful. So wonderful to see you. And thank you to our guardian angel, Rick.
Yes, we'll Rick, see you another time, Rick. Thank you so much for your help.
This is our first time on air, members and listeners. We're so excited to be here today.
That's right.
And Neil, can I start off our first ever IQ on air with a gratitude round?
Oh, right on. Yes. Okay. I have much to be grateful for, but for today, I'm going to give a big shout out to my family, my best friend and eternal companion, and my four little munchkins who aren't so little anymore because each of their personalities keep me on my toes. So shout out to my ohana.
Would you like to name your ohana?
Oh, I'm allowed to. Fantastic. So my best friend, Wiliamu Pauli Mangalei, and my children, Tasele, Viliamu, Ipolani, and Epi Rosalina.
Wonderful. And I would like to give a shout out to my children, Destiny, Jordan, Lance, Israel, and Eden, who I'm very grateful for. And I can't forget my mum, who is also our flatmate at the moment because of COVID-19.
Yes.
So wonderful. Now, guys, to start off our show, today we will be sharing the story of IQ Talanoa, how it started and why we started it and what, you know, how we plan to move forward in the future. But before we do, we'd like to share a beautiful song from our island queen.
Who's our queen?
Annie Crummer.
Annie Crummer, the queen.
Gorgeous Annie Crummer. And this song is a dedication to all of the wonderful, beautiful Indigenous queens out there. And it's See What Love Can Do.
Right on.
And I'm not hearing the music come on at the moment.
So,
that's okay.
Tell us some facts about Annie Crummer.
Let's tell us a little. I'll tell you a little bit about Annie Crummer while our technician takes care of our song and see what's going on. So Annie Crummer is from Cook Island descent, and she's a very talented queen. So here we have figured out what's wrong, and let's go back to our beautiful song from our queen, Annie Crummer.
And the words that stood before
My Lord, Lover Annie, thank you for telling us, see what love can do, because love is what helps the world go round.
Amen.
Moving on through our program, we're going to hear from Maureen Shear, her story. Get it? Her story, not the history.
Oh.
Of IQ Talanoa. That's what today's program is about. I can't wait to hear this story. And then now it will be recorded in the archives of Planet FM for any IQ members yet to come to take us through into the new millennium even.
Let's not the millennium.
Yes, because that's why we're here.
That's why we are here. Setting a record and writing IQ Talanoa, her story.
Mm.
Well, hi guys. I hope all three of you are enjoying the show so far. IQ Talanoa. So in July of 2018, I was studying. But before that, I entered MIT in Otara. Shout out to all my Otara, MIT students here.
Click, click for you.
When I turned 40 years old. So I'd left a violent marriage and I had five young children. And I wanted to set a better example for my children. I was on the, what you called back then, the solo mother's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who heard, you know, oh, she's a solo mum, she must be on the benefit. I felt a real stigma around that, mm-hmm. not only in my community where I lived, but also within my cultural community.
Mm.
And so I wanted to show my children that, you know, when things get really tough and difficult, it's okay. You can rise up. And so I decided to rise up when Eden, my baby, turned 5 years old, and I enrolled at MIT with a social sciences certificate. Now, I remember the first day of class, I got out of the lift at ND Block on the third floor, and I walked up towards this foyer area, and there was this beautiful young lady sitting there, and she had a brand new lunchbox and a brand new pencil case.
Ooh.
And she introduced herself as Kim. And I said, "Hi, Kim, I'm Maureen. I'm so glad you're here," because I thought I was going to be the only older person in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And I nearly didn't arrive because I was afraid to be teased by, you know, any younger students. And Kim and I are still wonderful friends now.
Wow.
And Kim is one of our beautiful IQ poets, but we'll talk about that later on. So I completed the certificate in social sciences. It was really difficult because I was a mum of five and I also had commitments with my church, with my community, but especially as a firstborn in my family, I had a lot of commitments as a daughter and the oldest child.
Mm.
So it took a lot of support from my classmates. We had a lot of amazing, gorgeous, mature students in the class, and that really helped. So we completed the social sciences certificate. I moved on to the diploma in counselling, specialising in children and young people.
Mm.
And then after that, we were able to complete the applied social sciences degree, specialising in counselling. So that journey took a few years because I took a semester off in between to go and act in a movie. And that movie is called Shopping, and it won quite a few awards. And it was under the gorgeous and talented Mark and Louis at the time. So I was so grateful for that time out to be able to go in and just have the most amazing experience. So anyway, IQ Talanoa, I recognised during my study time, you know, the challenges that a mature student faced in returning to the classroom. There were financial challenges, there were challenges in being a parent, challenges in being a single parent, challenges in trying to also maintain a safe home for your family, for your children. Mm. And I just felt there wasn't as much support for mature students. And I'm a Pasifika female as well. So I felt that the support at the time was targeted towards our beautiful younger people. Nothing wrong with that. But I really felt that more could have been done for mature students who were wanting to return, upskill and upgrade whatever, you know, qualification they had left high school with 20, 30 years earlier.
Right.
So, I was doing a workshop with a group and the letters IQ had always intimidated me. because I was told by the Western education system that IQ established how intelligent you were or were not.
Right.
So I thought, no, on a scale, absolutely. But I thought, no, we are going to own IQ, and we are going to make it something that our people, our mature students, our women can relate to and own. Right. So I changed it to Indigenous Queens.
That's right.
And Talanoa, meaning discussion, deep discussion in our case, conversation, or even if there's no conversation, but there's that safe space where you are invited to Talanoa, or you're invited to just sit. So IQ Talanoa was born in July of 2018, and we started to meet at the Manukau Public Library.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that the Auckland Council were able to give that to us for free.
Absolutely.
And we met once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was just to encourage any woman who was interested in returning to study but didn't know how to go about it. So we thought, yeah, why don't we do that and see what happens?
Mm.
So we had amazing presenters who gifted their time and came and spoke to us about their own stories and their own journeys.
Right.
So that's how IQ Talanoa was created.
Wow. So with these IQ, sorry, just a quick question. The presenters that came, were they all female also?
Actually, we had David Rule from Rural Education, and we had Basi Haufano, who came to support his mum-in-law and his wife Sandra, who were from 5-Hour Learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the majority of our presenters were female, and Pasifika, and experts and geniuses in their, you know,
fields.
Respective fields. We were so grateful because when I invited them, I let them know we had no money and I was not able to compensate them, but they didn't care. They came. Oh, and I'm sorry, I did miss Honourable Minister Aupito Soa William Seal. He came and gifted his time as well. So we had just the most amazing collection of people who were willing to gift their knowledge, gift their time, and share their personal and beautiful,
your
empowering
journeys,
stories.
Right.
Absolutely.
Sounds exciting. So for anyone else out there as a mature student considering returning back to school, this is one area, one group that you could participate in, or how would I know to join a group like this, Maureen?
Oh, sure. So if we fast forward to 2020, COVID-19 brought out some interesting
extra challenges, limitations.
Challenges, right, for connecting with IQ Talanoa. Mm. We were forced to go online, and I'm so glad because it just brought out many other challenges that our IQ Queen are facing that stop them from even thinking about continuing their education dream or even creating their own education dream. So through our Zoom, we received funding from MSD. We were able to pay for Zoom subscription, and we were able to connect with so many of our Indigenous Queens in Australia, in the States, and mainly here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So they brought up issues that they were also facing, personal issues, mental health issues. And I thought, before you can even begin to address education, these issues were something that needed to be
Very essentials that needed to be
absolutely. They needed to be acknowledged. They needed to be shared. And so we actually started writing sessions where people could come in with their assignments or come in with their journals and just spend a couple of hours, you know, a night to write. And it turned into writing poetry sessions where people would come in and just write whatever had been going on that week or what was burdening, you know, their hearts. And it turned into poetry sharing sessions. So in, we decided for Queen's Birthday Weekend 2020 that we would have a IQ Talanoa poetry share. And, oh, wow, when I heard the poems that were being shared, I knew that we could not just stop at this. So we went for funding, and we were able to invite poets in our IQ group to send us their poems. And at the moment, we are awaiting our book, which is at the printers.
That's right.
And we hope to launch this book on Saturday, the 28th of November.
Exciting.
Now, that's just one part of the IQ Tala North story, but I'm thinking, Neil, it might be a nice time to have some music.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Moana, another beautiful Kiwi queen, Moana and the Moor Hunters. Is that right?
Absolutely. With
Take
black
it away, Moana.
Pearl. Sing it, queen.
Right on, Moana. Sing for all the beautiful queens out there. Thank you, Moana.
Right, beautiful,
Moana. This next section, we're going to open up our We're looking at the Facebook page live. Our Facebook page, if there are any of our listeners out there that wish to shoot in a question. I've just got a couple of questions I wanted to ask Maureen about what you'd already shared today.
Go ahead.
So
bring it.
Right on. First, the word stigma. Stigma came out in what you shared earlier. Stigma in regards to being a solo mum. Stigma in regards to returning to school. But, like, tell us what that means to you, because I know there are many other mature students who want to return and maybe have a fear of that stigma.
Ma ngaile fesili, I love your question. Thank you, Neil. Okay, so when I went to school as a high school student, I didn't do so well. And I have no excuses. I was sent to school and told what was expected from my parents, but I just did not do well. So I found myself married and had my children, and I had a dream that I would marry, you know, Prince Charming, and we would buy a house and have children with the white picket fence, and I would stay home and bake muffins and, and bangi popo, and he would go to work and, you know, and live happily ever after.
Wow.
Yes.
In the clouds, yes.
Well, that didn't work out. So in my community, I'm Samoan, born in Savai. And mum and dad made the trek here to New Zealand when I was 18 months old. Mm. So I was born in Samoa and brought to New Zealand. And their dream was that their children would do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd always been taught, you know, that you make your bed and you lie in it.
Mm.
And I felt like I had really failed my parents as a student at the time. But then the stigma is to be a solo mum was quite difficult, you know, because people would look at me and say, what did you do? Mm. What did you do to end the marriage? You know, what was your sin?
Mm.
And yet, you know, they didn't realize actually it wasn't my sin, but it ended.
Mm.
And rather than support, sometimes there are false narratives around when people's situations changed. And also going back to school, as you know, I had people saying, but you have five kids. What are you going to, who's going to look after them?
Right,
who's going to feed them? Shouldn't you be out working instead? And so those, you know, voices kept haunting me. And also the guilt of, I felt anyway, in letting my parents down, because their initial migration to Aotearoa, New Zealand, was, you know, in the hope of giving us better opportunities. So when I did decide, no, I'm going back, I can do it, the lecturers in ND Block in our counselling were Misha, Sue and Judy. And we had Philippa and many other beautiful lecturers who gave us nothing but unconditional support and love. And I know if it wasn't for these amazing, oh, and Tom, can't forget our dear Tom. If it wasn't for these amazing people who took the word lecturer beyond what I'd experienced it to be before, they took it to a caring, empathetic level that, you know, which had me thinking, this is the kind of, you know, person I want to be when I'm a counsellor. Or these are exactly the skills and virtues that I want to. So they really helped. And even though they were pālangi, they understood the Pasifika way. They understood the strain, the commitments that we were under. And they did everything in their power to support us, to empower us, to encourage us through our courses. And, you know, through to the point where when I finished with my degree, I was invited to do my master's at Te Wānanga o Aotearoa in Indigenous knowledge. And that's something that I will always be grateful for to the ND counselling block of teachers and lecturers. So the stigma sometimes comes from within our own families.
Right.
It comes from within our own communities, whether it's a church community, a cultural community, even, you know, an extended friendship community.
Right.
It comes from within, but it doesn't mean that we have to bow to it.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that we have to believe the false narratives that are out there. So for anyone who is considering or thinking, you know, I sucked at school, I'm too dumb, or, well, you know, they're right. Mum and Dad are right. I've made my bed, lie in it.
Mm.
Not true. You are so worthy. You are capable of so much more. And I believe the more you are given to struggle with, when you overcome that, you are a fierce, stronger Indigenous queen for it. So I hope that answers the question. I tend to go off on tangents, sorry.
No, but yeah, you talked about fear, and so it's almost like we block ourselves, don't we, rather than, well, we allow those voices to push us down.
Absolutely.
How can we overcome that? Is that a personal thing? Everybody has their own way, or what would be some advice to help if that came back to you?
Mā ngaila fusili, that's a good question, Neil. So for me, I can only speak for myself. I actually engaged in CBT. And CBT is a form of counselling that looks at cognitive behavioural therapy, recognising what the action is and changing it.
Mm.
And if I had not been taught CBT and actually tried it out, I wouldn't have been able to step back and actually examine the behaviours that I had been taught as a child and the unhealthy patterns I had observed and taken on myself. So I really had to learn to deconstruct. So deconstruct just means take apart everything that I knew up to that point from a cultural point of view, from a church religious point of view, and from a being a female point of view.
Mm.
I had to deconstruct that and give myself permission to take it apart, examine it, and say, okay, rebuild. Like if you have a Lego set, right, you build something, yeah, it looks all right, but could it look better? So I took that all apart and I was able to then choose what I would put into the building and what blocks I would keep out.
Mm.
So for me, I really had to examine myself and give myself permission to say, no, within my culture that does not fit the safer and healthier space that I want to create for my children. And within my church, no, that does not fit the safer and healthier space that I'm creating for myself and my family. And within my, you know, general friendship community, no, that does not fit. And so I just got rid of the blocks. And I have to admit, it wasn't easy because hearts were hurt, feelings were hurt, of course. But I feel like I'm in a safer space, a healthier space. And I wasn't doing it so much for myself, but as for my children moving forward. And now I think other people have been contacting me and saying, you know, I tried to do that and I can feel that things are going to be better.
Mm.
It's difficult because we're going against family cultures, cultural, you know, things that
tradition
maybe worked back then.
Mm.
Or, and I think the Wha Samoa especially is so beautiful, but there are parts of it that have been corrupted along the way. And as we continue these corrupted and unhealthy patterns, it's not going to help ourselves or our families going forward. So it's your responsibility as an individual to deconstruct, take it apart, examine which ones are safe and healthy for my family moving forward, and then put those in place. And what do you do with the unhealthy ones? Well, you get a saw or a spade, you bury it in the backyard and wait for the archaeologists in 5,500 years time to dig them up.
But that's really important, that to be able to analyze what's actually happening to you and then see it for what it is, as opposed to just blindly, not to say that we don't obey our parents, not to say that we don't love our parents, but they're only teaching us what they themselves have been taught.
Absolutely.
So those traditions from their forefathers are coming through to us. But in this day and age, women, sisters, we have every right to stand up and actually say what's better for me might not have been something that was taught in those days, and then to have that, hopefully have that open conversation to not only your parents if they are still with you, but also to your children, because they are the ones that will carry through.
To your sisters, your brothers, your aunties, your uncles. It's not to say your way sucks. It's to say actually that doesn't work for my children and I moving forward.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes they even learn to say, well, it's a different time now and maybe we can all move forward together. But those conversations need to be had. Right. And they need to be had still with respect,
mm-hmm.
unless,
mm-hmm.
you know, the jandal comes flying back. But I think it's time for a song, Neil. Is
yes,
that okay?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And so I've just come across this gorgeous song here. It's I Am Light. And this is a song that my daughter played for me. And the words just, you know, right. just hit me in the fatu. Okay, my guys and girls, let's have a listen to this beautiful I Am Light.
Lofa love. Thank you so much, India Ari. That was India Ari sending out love and light to all of us.
Beautiful.
Right, we're just going to carry on with a couple more questions of this journey of IQ Talanoa. Maureen, you talked about when you returned to MIT, you started at certificate level. Can you explain that? And yeah.
Oh, manga silly, thank you. So I looked at courses to return to and I saw this certificate of social sciences. So I had to sit a little entrance exam, you know, to test.
Entrance exams, wow.
Well, just to test if my English was adequate and my numeracy skills. I can hardly say. English is my second language, okay, people, thank you. After I submitted it, they contacted me, MIT, and they said, listen, you could probably start in the diploma of counselling. Because your marks were such that, you know, we would accept you. But I was so afraid of failing. And I said, no, I want to start at the certificate. At least if I start down there, the only way is up. So, then I enrolled into the certificate and it was the best decision I made because not only did I meet and make amazing friends, they're mele and other mele, I won't give their surnames, they might be shy, and Sana, Nevin, and of course Kim, who I met on my very first day there, Suchi, I just met and made so many lifelong friends, and we journeyed together as mature students, and we supported each other, and it was so wonderful because, you know, we had young school leavers there. And we felt like the, you know, the aunties giving them the eye going, calm yourself, you better behave. You know, you've got an assignment, stop clubbing.
Oh, wow.
Stop. Because, you know, we had children. So we were straight home doing the mother duties. Some of us were grandmothers as well.
Wow.
And so I think we bounced off some of their youthful and gorgeous energy. Mm-hmm. And they bounced off, you know, our jandals and sticks.
Or just the wisdom.
Yes,
that you shared.
You know that look that your mother gives you without touching you, you're already crying? Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
look of love.
And this is love. That's what it is, because without you, they wouldn't feel the light.
Absolutely.
And that love is so... Okay, here's another question then. So you talked about in the community and the family and social groups of support, your group of ladies and some men, mature students, when you'd come together, would you talk about just school studies, or would you also share the burden of what life was giving you, like, well, love for Elis for us all, can't pay my power bill this week, you know, can you help me? You know, those... Were you talking about life as well or just schooling?
Oh, absolutely. We talked about life. We talked about our children. We talked about the challenges. But one thing I loved that we shared every break and every lunchtime was lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these amazing people would bring the most beautiful, sometimes exotic meals to share. And so we would share and just talk about our assignment. And many of the assignments caught on our life experiences. And so we grew to share sometimes things we hadn't even shared with our own families because of the trust that we had developed within our group. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful for that journey and for that opportunity. There was a time where I thought I might have to quit because my child kept getting sick or things were happening at home where I thought I need to stay home to keep my children safe and things like that. But, you know, the group of students that the cohort I went through with and our amazing lecturers and teachers at MIT at that time, they refused to give up on me. And so if it wasn't for them, I think I wouldn't be sitting here talking about my amazing experience there.
For sure, for sure. So support is not only believing in yourself, giving yourself permission to do things, but then just telling you, you can do it. Yes, it's
absolutely
hard.
Absolutely.
But nothing that is easy is actually worth it, right? It's supposed to have its ups and downs.
Sure. I mean, any challenge, when you're able to overcome it, will so change you, absolutely change you. I just want to address something that people would usually say to me, but you're so brainy. You know, you're clever. I could never do that. English is my second language, or I failed in school. I'm too dumb. I've been told how dumb I am. You know, those are false narratives. And you have a choice whether you want to believe it and take it on board, or whether you, you know, when you're reconstructing your Lego building, whether you keep that or go bury it outside.
I like that, bury it.
Having
outside.
Brains does, you know, saying people saying you're brainy does not determine whether you will succeed or not. 90% is hard work and commitment. And when you enter a school or a study organization that are willing to give you that support, and if you have a cohort or a group of friends, might even only be one other or two other students in your class who are willing to give you that support, you have every right and you have every capability to succeed in whatever you're chosen, regardless of what your past has thrown at you.
You know, you talk about one of the favorite things of you and your support group was to come together for food. I mean, that is so really his favorite subject at school was break time, lunchtime. And this is in the States where you go to the cafeteria. And of course, because social gatherings just bring you together.
So I'd just like to say this is not a man-bashing program. So Veli is Mataniel's darling. So we love you, Veli.
Yes, but I was saying because of that social gathering, that's another way and another time to come together to do learning, right? It's not just about listening to what the teacher says or getting the answer right. Social interaction is so important. It's part of life skills. So shout out to you, really, with loving your lunch breaks, because I love them too. All right, just another question, if you don't mind, Maureen. Time. How did you manage your time? I mean, you talked about when babies get sick, because that's a life. I mean, that's a real thing that would happen to any mums
for sure.
Returning to school. How did you balance your time?
I did not sleep at night. And I say this with all seriousness. My children had to come first when I got home. So homework, taking them to church activities, to sports practices, to whatever extracurricular activity they were involved with, you know, I had to be mum. And we were lucky we had a vehicle where I could take them to places. And school usually finished at 4 p.m., so, you know, I could go and be with my children. Then once they were in bed, that was my time to work on my assignments. I can remember many times some of my classmates and I would be on the phone crying because we had an assignment due 9 a.m. the next day. And so we're crying and sharing the love, sharing the pressure, but also just sharing information on the assignment. And we would just get through it and do it. I mean, who else is going to? And we were also not shy about applying for extensions.
Mm.
And like I said, our lecturers never gave up on us.
Right.
They knew that we could do it. Another thing about time is friends and family were more than willing to lend some of their time or to pick up my children or take them to a sports practice or something. It's just really looking at who your village is or who you allow into your village. I'm not a big believer in, well, just because we're related or just because we went to school 20 years ago or just because you're in my church congregation, I'm going to trust you with my children. I'm very particular about who I allow into my safe family space, and that really helped. But also, I have to give credit to my older children, Destiny, Lance, and Jordan. They really stepped up, and they wanted Mum to succeed. And I think they kind of grew up a lot faster than maybe I would have wanted them to.
I think our oldest girls do that. They have a tendency to do that. I have one too, that at a very young age when I had to work three jobs, I think it was, to help our family survive. At two, she was only 2.5. That's just also part of building those resilient skills into our young women and our young men. But, time is such an important factor.
I'll share a funny story about one of my part-time jobs.
Okay.
It was doing night fill at the, I won't say where it was, but it was a very big business, a very
big
red building business. And I would do night fill. And then I'd, you know, finish at 2 a.m, get home, and then I'd have to take my children to what our church. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm. Our church has seminary, which is early morning scripture study for our teenagers. And so I would take them to seminary at 5:30. And then that would finish at 7, and then we'd come home, get ready for school, and I'd go off to class.
Wow.
And I'd be sitting there dozing. And I think even a couple of times I might have drooled or something.
TMI,
did that for about 6 to 8 months because my family needed, my children needed new uniforms, my family needed, you know, activities to be paid for. The car needed fixing. And I was on a solo mother's benefit at the time. When people say, well, you know, you get a lot. Well, we got enough. But when you have five children who need more, you do what you need to do. So I was able to work, but my health and safety came into play when one day I was driving home. And I closed my eyes, I think, for a second. And luckily, I woke up and I hadn't hit anybody, but I parked on the side of the road. And I realized, you know, how dangerous what I was doing is. So I stopped that. And, yeah, you have to do what you got to do. But if you have support in a village that you have created, go for it.
Yeah, you talk about trust. You know, which is a very big need in our community and within our families. So, how would you help a person that, I mean, how would you be able to support someone who lacks trust? What would you say there?
You mean to start study or just in general?
Well, to trust first themselves that they can at least fill out the form, and then, like, you know, just even approaching the building, you were still hesitant. You were still thinking, oh, I can't do this, until you saw Kim. And I wonder what was in her lunchbox when you saw her?
Well, I didn't ask because, yeah, I don't do that.
Sorry about that.
But she was so excited because her daughter was so supportive. But your question about trust, I think this is where IQ Talanoa comes in. We also share information about scholarships and what is out there in terms of funding and grants. And if you need help, you can come to us, contact us and say, listen, I would like to enroll for the school, but this form is just doing my head in. And it looks like a whole lot of gobbledygook, which, you know, it really
gobbledygook.
It can put you off. Some of these forms or ways to enroll can really be off-putting for somebody who is returning after 5, 10, 20 years at home, you know. So contact us at IQ Talanoa. Bring us your form. Let us know how we can help you to start or to realize your dream. We, you know, I'm not an English major, but we can go through the form line upon line and we can look at, you know, what you need to do. And we have amazing other women within IQ Talanoa who are knowledgeable and so generous with their knowledge that they can also help you. I actually have a dream, Neil, for IQ Talanoa. And my big dream is to hopefully be able to afford to lease a building for IQ Talanoa, and this building will be dedicated, a dedicated study and research centre for any mature student. Now, when I say mature, that includes our young ones, you know, the school leavers, because they're the next generation waiting to take over from us. And sometimes we don't have a space at home to study because, you know, Mum comes over, Dad comes over, the uncles come over, someone's died this week and next week and the week after. We're looking after grandchildren, we are taking care of our children, the kids want to watch a movie, and we don't have that space at home to study. So this centre will be dedicated primarily to the study and safe space for any student who wants to work under IQ Talanoa. If you need forms filled out, we won't do it for you, but we will help
you
show you so that you can learn how to do it. And you go home and you share that knowledge with everyone else. So my dream is in the future to be able to afford to lease a building that will be dedicated to as a study centre, a study and research centre, so that people know any time they need, they can come to IQ Talanoa and have the space and the time that they need to work on their assignment, to study, to write that poem, to write that thesis.
Oh, awesome. So just one another question that's just popped in my mind. IQ Talanoa during COVID, I mean, we know that you were forced to go online. How else were you able to support the Indigenous Queens during that time?
Well, we received funding, like I said, from the MSD COVID Recovery Fund, Community Fund, I believe it was, and they paid for our Zoom subscription. And so we were able to connect with so many other of our Indigenous Queens through the Zoom experience. But I also
realized, we figured out how to work it, right?
Once we figured out how to work
that was interesting.
Yes, that was interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. So the thing I realized, though, is that not everybody has access to the internet. And so we used anything that we could, whether it was email or whether it was, if we don't know who you are, you know, we'd say, please go to a friend's house or see what your church can do or your community can do to help connect you, because we weren't able to do one-on-ones or, you know, with the lockdowns and everything. But the biggest thing I found that came out of the COVID-19 experience this year was poetry and allowing Indigenous Queens to write out their feelings, write out what was going on. Now, over half of our poets who have contributed work to our Aiku Talanoa poetry book wrote to me and said, but I don't do poetry. I failed English in school. I'm not a poet. I don't know how to write poems. And so I said, just write. Write the feeling. If it's one word, expand. Just so in our writing sessions, oh my goodness, I want to cry thinking of the magic that many of our poets brought out.
Right, our writing
absolute
sessions.
Absolute magic in our writing sessions and the courage to share this magic. Now, you can participate in that magic by buying one of our books, but we're not going to tell you how and when until next week or our next show, because they're still at the printers. But, wow, the power in these books is just pure magic.
That's right. Oh, sorry, I was one of supposed to join you on that. Okay, so I remember during the COVID, the first lockdown, there was a mum whose first language is not English. So being able to call through and get support for that family was really tricky until then the food banks all closed down and IQ got word of it, and so many mums in Auckland helped that family out. So if your
so
first
many
language,
Indigenous Queens just brought food, clothing. They didn't even hesitate. We put the call out on our Facebook page and they just came in droves to help this family who was not part of IQ Talanoa, but one of our Indigenous Queens had worked with them and they needed food. And it was an urgent emergency situation. And our I-Queens came through like, wow, angels, absolute angels.
And the beauty of it was, the language was the barrier, but then because the IQ Queens that we're working with her spoke the same language, we have many languages in our group, right? We have at least Tongans, Samoans.
Many.
Okay. So with that, we're here to help you. We are here to do anything that will help support, build you up, like Maureen talked about the Lego, refurbish that home, make it a mansion, and that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. Now, people may say, yeah, but you say you speak a lot of Samoan and you speak a lot of Pasifika things, and a lot of the stuff on your page is targeted at Pasifika. Absolutely. But if you have any access to any other Indigenous means of funding and that, please post it on our Facebook page. If you are a member of our page, if you're not a member, please just look for us on Facebook, IQ Talanoa, Talanoa, and ask to join, okay? Now, Neil, as we come to the last 10 minutes, of our program, now this is our first ever program, so we're so grateful to Christine, to Joe, and to Paul. And our lifesaver just now, Rick, for helping us to train us on how to get on air. But just on a more solemn note, during the COVID-19 alert level 4s and 3 and 2 lockdowns, some of our loved ones were lost to us. And many of us were unable to go and be with our loved ones as they struggled in hospital in their last hours, and especially when they passed away. And so we just wanted to play and dedicate this song to any of you who lost a loved one and were not able to be with them, whether in the same country, whether in the same city, or even if you were in the same city due to COVID-19, you were unable to, you know, to go say goodbye. Now, we hope the song brings some comfort and some love to you, and we are so grateful that we're able to share it. It's from Mariah Carey and the fabulous Boys
Sweet Day.
Two Men.
Thank you so much, Mariah. One Sweet Day. Oh, okay. Now you're scaring them.
Sorry, I just killed the song. Okay.
It's going to end off on some announcements with the 14th of November. Put it in your phones. Maureen talked about a poetry book. Pre-sales for $20 on our poetry book will go on. We'll
be advertised on our Facebook page.
That one. And from the 14th of November, we can do pre-sales of our poetry book where there's 18 poets will share with the world and everyone in it all of their inner thoughts and feelings that they were going through during COVID-19. And then on the 28th of November is our book launch. Where's that happening, Maureen?
It's happening at MIT. I'm going back home. But we'll get more details about that at our next show. Now, I just wanted to say with the pre-sales, you know, Christmas is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee the poems in this book are going to just touch your heart.
Touch your fatu, yes.
Touch your fatu in a beautiful way. Comforting way. Empowering way. A very empathetic way. And just like this beautiful song that Queen Mariah and Boyz II Men was able to sing, you know, it's going to touch your heart. And yeah, I'm so excited. I'm just too excited to get these poetries, this book out to everybody. But yeah, for all those who listen to Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, we send so much love to you, to your family, to your whānau. And IQ Talanoa just wishes you peace, love, and just so many hugs.
Well, you said we have a Facebook and an Instagram?
We haven't. We're on Instagram.
Wow, I didn't even know that, but okay.
Well, I didn't even know what it was until like a couple of months ago. My daughter said, if you're not on Instagram, none of us young ones will know who you are. And it's like, okay, girl, get me hooked up.
The new generators.
So IQ Talanoa, I don't know how to advertise it, but look for Instagram. IQ Talanoa. Wow. So, Neil, as we come to the last couple of minutes of our show, what are we going to talk about? So we're on every second and fourth Sunday of the month, guys. And if you can't listen to us live on Sunday, you can go into planetaudio.org.nz/IQTalanoa, one word. And you can listen to us anytime you want. So planetaudio.org.nz/IQTalanoa. Now, a shout out to all our listeners in America. I have a friend. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
And Robert's a good friend of my family. So he's listening from California. And we also have some Indigenous queens who may be listening in later on from Australia and many here in our beautiful Aotearoa, New Zealand. Now, Matanil's going to just share a couple of things that she will be talking about in our next show, the fourth Sunday of this month.
Wow. Do we have the date? Is it the 29th?
I think it's not the 29th, but yeah. What are you going to talk about? Because you have 50 seconds.
I'm going to talk about education. And as a practitioner of learning for the last 20 plus years, just 20 or maybe 19.
40 years.
And so just to talk about the changes that have happened within the classroom and then what COVID has pushed all schools to go into, and then just the challenges that we're facing in classrooms to date.
But also you're going to share your journey, your story.
Yes, of course.
As a Samoan student coming through, you know, the Western education system and what you are seeing today.
Right.
So, guys, we can't wait to hear that. And 10 seconds to go. Thank you for tuning in. I love you, kids. I'll bring you a happy
love
meal.
You all.
Okay, love you all. Thank you so much. And we hope that you have a beautiful week.